We're going to begin a new series today called Poison Control. And this is something, a word that's been on my heart for several weeks, even for a couple of months. I've been wanting to do this series and talking about poison control. And we've talked a lot around here about spending time in God's presence. And on Wednesday nights, we did a series on really getting quiet and before God and in His presence and experiencing Him. How many of you love to experience God's presence? It's just something, it's incredible, isn't it? You know, and we can do that personally. We can do that together corporately as a body. But there's nothing like God's presence when God shows up. But did you know every victory that you receive from God, every victory that you walk in, and this isn't a downer, this isn't one of those negative things, it's so you'll be aware things, the enemy wants to rob that victory from you. I mean, he wants to rob that from you. Every time you experience, have you ever, you know, a breakthrough? Any of you been praying for something, you pray and you pray and you pray, and then all of a sudden, bam, a breakthrough comes. Any of you ever had those moments? Man, those are powerful moments. It's when you know God showed up. You know? And the enemy wants to rob us from those things. Well, how does he do it? Toxic things in our life. This should begin to creep in. Just begin to creep in a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time. They begin to creep into our life. You know, it's been really hot out there lately. And you know, this, all of us during the really hot weather, we crave something like this, of just this pure glass of drinking water. And we get really thirsty. Any of you work outside here? You know, yeah, Eli, man, it's not fun working outside these days. And so mentioning that, if you'd like to show back up at the church around 3:00 this afternoon, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to be doing because I want you to show up. And let me just encourage you to bring gloves and something you can sweat in. And you long for that pure glass of water. But let me take this Windex, I mean this full glass of water, and just a little bit, just drop it in. Now let me offer this to you. No thanks, right? How many of you would want to drink that? I mean, just a little bit of Windex is all it was. In proportion, there's much more water than there is Windex in there. But if I were to give it to you, you wouldn't drink it just because of a drop. And that's what toxic things in our life can do to us spiritually. We'd be full of the Holy Spirit, but just the enemy wants to put just something small in there. You know, when a man by the name of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he's talking about the law, and he said, did you know just a little leaven, just a little bit, leavens the whole lump? And talking about the law. He said, just a little bit leavens the whole lump. We're talking about poison control. About our life and being able to exercise what the Holy Spirit gives us. How do you take care of poison control in your life? It's through a fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Is that through the power of the Spirit working in us, each one of us have self-control. Everybody say self-control. Well, if you want to overcome poison control, you've got to have self-control in your life. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And with self-control, we can overcome poison control. And in this series, we're going to be talking about our words. We're going to be talking about our thoughts. And here's the one that's going to be really fun, okay? And talking about poison control. And you're going to love this one, is our relationships. Because relationships can affect your life. Your closest relationships, they do affect your life. And we need to be careful about the relationships we have in our life. And we need to have poison control. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, poison control. Just a little bit. And today we're talking about overcoming toxic words in your life. If there's one thing we all have in common is words. Every one of us use words. And words, my friend, are powerful. You know, your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. And they affect your life and the relationships around you. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs 18 and 21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Can we all agree that your words are powerful? The Bible communicates our words are powerful. Have you ever been wounded by somebody's words? Has somebody ever said something to you that cut deep and that hurt and wounded you? It could be a spouse. It could be a child, a sibling. It could be a coworker. It could have been a pastor. Could have been somebody in the church, a friend in the church. But when they said those words to you, they hurt. Why? Because words are powerful. Words are powerful, my friend. Words are powerful. It's been a few weeks ago, and I did a short podcast on it. But a few weeks ago, I had to get up like at 4:30 in the morning, or I had to get up early, and I went to bed a little bit late because I had a lot of things going on. And about 12:30 in the morning, I woke up, and for two solid hours, I had this flashing billboard saying, "Your words are powerful." I couldn't go to sleep. I was aggravated at God. I was like, "Man, okay, I got it, God, for two words." I mean, those words just flashing right there in my mind and my heart. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Just for 2 hours, I'm trying to, and I've got to get up at 4:30, and I'm like, "Oh, God, I get it, all right? My words are powerful." Your words are powerful, my friend. Have you ever wounded someone with your words? Have you ever said something that you know wounded someone? Come out of your mouth. Wow. Proverbs 12 and 18 says this, "Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing." Bring healing. Some make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing to your life, my life. Well, I like what the Passion Translation says. It says, "Reckless words are like the thrust of a sword. Cutting remarks meant to stab and to hurt. But the words of the wise soothe and heal." The words of the wise soothe and heal. My friend, your words matter. Your words matter. They make a difference in your life. They make a difference in the lives of the others around you. Right now, you may be thinking about a word, something someone spoke to you when you were a child and you're older and you still remember those words and they affect your life. You may be thinking about words somebody spoke to you on the way to church this morning or yesterday or last week, and those words are influencing your life even now. Why? Words are powerful, my friend. And they can either be poison or they can be fruit. Words. James 3 and 8 says, "But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison." Wow. Spews out words of toxic poison. Have you ever been wounded by words? We're talking about overcoming the wound of words. Why? Because here's what I found. Wounded people wound people. With words. James 3, 9 and 10, as we go on and continue to read, says this. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Wow. You know what I like to call this verse? Part-time praisers and part-time cursers. I mean, sometimes praise comes out, sometimes cursing comes out. Part-time praisers, part-time cursers. Wow, I want us all to be full-time praisers, amen? I mean, I want us to be full-time encouragers, amen? The Bible says encourage one another, especially as the day is approaching. It says encourage one another, not discourage one another. And words can either encourage or discourage, my friend. Words are either they're poison or they're life, my friend. I mean, they're either bad or they're good. Words are powerful. And I want you to overcome toxic words in your life. Wow, have you ever been wounded by the curses of another? What someone said. And usually, and sometimes it hurts the most when it's those that are close to us. Have you ever said things to your spouse? Man, I have. I had to ask for forgiveness to my kids too. They were very unhealthy. Words have power. Have you ever had a great day? I mean, it's going good. And you're just full of the joy of the Lord and God's moving in your life and it's just wonderful. Your attitude is great and life is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, just one word or two words or and this word here or that word there takes you from rejoicing to another place that's unhealthy. Just words. Why? Words are powerful. Words are powerful. They affect your life and they affect my life. 1 Samuel 20, verse 30, Saul, who was the king of Israel at this time, and Saul boiled with rage at Jonathan and his son, and he says, "You stupid son of a whore." He swore at him. Wow. Do you think I don't know that you want him to be king in your place? Shaming yourself and your mother? This is a father saying this to his son Jonathan. And this is what we typically call father wounds, you might say. And all of us have father wounds, whether we realize it in our life sometime or not. Father wounds in our life were because that role of a father in our life and those words, whether a father's even been there or not, and especially if a father hasn't been there, there can still be father wounds because the father hasn't been there. But friends, here's a father speaking to his son saying, "You stupid son of a whore." Wow. My goodness. And just because there's been father wounds doesn't mean we don't still need fathers. The role of a father in the life and a mother. And one of the things that's happening in our society today is they're trying to remove roles, right? Can you agree? They're trying to remove roles out of our society and out of our culture. The role of a father, the role of a mother, you know. They're trying to remove all of those things from our society. And some of those things even creep into the church where I've heard recently about, they're talking about removing the roles of the fivefold ministry in the church, that God's doing a new thing and he's removing the roles of what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 and equipping the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And I was reading it and I'm going, wow, that sounds just like a lot about our culture out there, removing roles from our culture, but now it's creeped into the house of God, and the enemy's trying to remove roles that God has established through his word. And my friend, we've got to be very careful along those lines. Why? Because words matter, and what we listen to matters, and what we allow to affect our life matters. Why? Toxic words can influence your life in a very negative way. It can keep you from experiencing God's best in your life. Wow. Our words matter. Our words matter. Hateful words, demeaning words, words spoken in anger, words of rejection, words that communicate you're not good enough, like Stacy was talking about. They matter. You're less than. Words that try and label you. You're a failure. You'll never be successful. You're a pervert. You're useless. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. All very harmful words. Very harmful words. And we've all had things said to us that are very toxic and influencing in our life. And I want you to overcome those words, those toxic words that have influenced you and affected your life. You know, when Satan comes against you, you know how he comes against you? With words. The Bible, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. How does he do it? How does he accuse? Words. With words. That's how accusation happens, with words. Wow. And then it goes on to say in verses 15 through 18, and you can go there and read it later. This is just a portion of it. It says, then the dragon, which represents Satan, tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. What was that flood of water? Words. It's words against the church. Words that come against. And if Satan wants to oppose you and come against you, how does he do it? With words. With words. Your words are powerful and they matter, my friend. After the first service, if you ever had the opportunity to speak, or an environment where you teach something and afterwards you're like, man, I wish I'd have said that. And I had this thought after the service. Man, I wish I'd have said that, so I'm going to say it now. All right? That's right. Listen, words might change the tension in your home or add to the tension in your home. Just your words that you're speaking can add to the tension of your home or remove the tension in your home. Words. Is it really that simple? Yes. If you change the words you're speaking, somebody needs to hear this. I don't know if they're watching right now or what, or listen to it now, or it's you or somebody here in this place right now. But listen, you can have peace in your home. You can have peace in your home. You know how? Words. Because words are powerful. So how do I overcome toxic words in my life? I've had some spoken to me. I can still remember that when I was a kid, growing up, words that affected my life for years. So how do you overcome toxic words? How do you do that? Well, number one, you've got to take a stand. You have to take a stand. You have to take a stand. And I love family, okay? I love family. I love the church. I love getting together, praying with people. But if you're going to overcome words that have been spoken to you, you have to take a stand against those words. Personally, you've got to stand. And having done all, you stand against those words that have been spoken to you that affected your life. It's got to happen in you. I mean, listen, I love to encourage people. If you've been around here long enough, you know, what is one of my favorite things to tell people? You're awesome. I love encouraging people. I love building people up. I love helping people believe in their dreams and all of that. But my friends, words that have been spoken to you that are negative, that are toxic, that are affecting you, you have to stand against those words personally. I mean, I can encourage you. I can pray for you. Your friends can get, you know, we can gather around and all those things are good, all right? They're wonderful. But when it comes right down to it, where the rubber meets the road, if you're going to overcome toxic words in your life, you have to stand and overcome those words. Personally. Wow. Man, take your stand. And in Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. And you can see that's our VBS was all about the armor of God yesterday and teaching our kids and grandkids about the armor of God. And friends, if you're going to overcome toxic words that are influencing your life, you have to take a stand against those words. And how do you do that? Well, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But it says in James 4 and 7, and let me just read this statement here. It says, when you stand with the armor of God, Satan can't stand against you. Let me say that again. When you stand with the armor of God, Satan cannot stand against you, but also he can't stand you. When you stand with the armor of God, Satan cannot stand against you, but he also can't stand you. And you've got to put on the full armor of God. But James 4 and 7 says, scriptures we all know, therefore submit to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That word resist simply means withstand, stand, oppose. Oppose someone. I mean, if you're in a battle, you know, realistically, if you're in a battle and all you're doing is and the enemy's coming up against you and all you're doing is just standing there, who's going to win that battle? I mean, the enemy will win that battle. But what do you have to do? Oppose. You have to stand. You have to resist. You have to submit to God and resist the enemy. And if you're going to overcome toxic words, because, friend, words are powerful, that have been influencing your life, you have to stand. Make up your mind that I am going to resist the enemy and those words that are toxic. And I'm standing, I'm standing, I'm standing. Come on, everybody say it. I'm standing. Say it again. I'm standing. Listen, there's times that we can stand before you. I mean, stand for you, all right? There's times that your friends, again, can stand for you and all of that. But there's going to come a time in your life, friend, if you're going to overcome the negativity and all the toxic stuff, and you're going to rise up and be who God's called you to be, you have to stand personally against those words and say, no, I'm taking my stand. I resist you, Satan. Submitting to God. Wow. Man, I'm really preaching about, I don't know, almost 80% better than your amen. Come on. First crowd just were a lot louder than you guys. A lot more of you, on the first crowd, but they're still out. Come on, you guys. This is really good. This will change your life. It'll change your life. You have to do it. Man, we've talked so much, and I believe in humility. You know that. But we think humility means I got to shut up and just sit down and be quiet. That's not what humility means. I humble myself underneath the hand of the Almighty God, all right? I submit myself to God, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to rise up. I'm taking my stand against toxic words that have been spoken over my life. You're not worthless. You're not worthless. He loves you. Wow. The verb resist comes from the Latin word resistere. If I was trying to be Latin there, meaning to take a stand or withstand. You have to resist, friend. If you want to overcome the wound of words, you must take your stand. And the second thing is, this is so important, my friend. What are you going to stand with? You've got to work the word of God. Work the word of God. Stand and then work the word. Get the word of God flowing out of you. Get it. And to get the word of God working in you, you've got to get into the word of God. Let me say that again. To get the word of God working in you, you've got to get into the word of God. And you've got, if you're going to overcome toxic words, that's poison control in our life, because the enemy wants to poison you. And you have to take your stand and then work the word of God in your life. It says what? What does it say? In there it says, take the sword of the Spirit. My goodness. Anybody? Well, I'm going to tear something up. I almost did the first service too. Wow. You got to work it. You got to work it. It's like what I said earlier. If I'm in a battle and I've got the sword and all I'm doing is standing there with my sword, and I've got an enemy coming against me, and I just stand there with my sword, I'm going down, yeah. I mean, what do I have to do? I've got to pick it up, and I've got to start using it, friend. I've got to use the word of God. I've got to work the word of God. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You know, all of these things, the word, we have to begin to work the word of God in our life. And to work it, you've got to get it in you and begin to use it to overcome toxic words in your life, my friend. How did Jesus overcome the enemy in the wilderness? He used what? The word of God. The word of God. And here's what happens sometimes. And we don't do it intentionally. Sometimes we have a disconnect between this and God. This is the word of God. All right? We disconnect it, you know? This is the word of God. And we get it inside of us, and we use that word. We pull out the sword, and we begin to use it in our life and work it. That's what Jesus said in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. It says the word of God is alive, and it is powerful. That means what God has said about you in his word is alive and powerful in your life. And you've got to use it to overcome the toxic words that have been spoken to you, friend. And you know what it looks like when you take a stand against the enemy? In his words against you, and you take the word of God, this is what his sword looks like. It doesn't even hurt, you know, when you're using the word of God and you're using this sword, his word. I mean, this is what his looks like. I mean, it's just old flimsy. It doesn't even, when you take God's word and begin to use it, it has no power at all. But this, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. But here's what the enemy will do. Why? He's a deceiver, the Bible says. If you don't take the word of God and begin to use it, he'll make you think that his word looks like this instead of this. Instead of this. You have to begin to use the Word of God. Work the Word, Stacy. No, Timothy's coming. Thank you. Wow. What does God say about you? Toxic words, my friend. Poison controlling your life. We all need it in our life. The enemy comes against us with words. And I'm going to use a term that I didn't use in the first service, another one that I want to give you. Just feel led of the Spirit right now. Some of you, your own self-talk is, let me just be straight with you, it's toxic. Your own self-talk is toxic. What you're saying to you about you is toxic, and it's affecting your life. It's influencing your life. And it may be because you've aligned with somebody that says some things very negative to you, about you. Whatever it might be, just listening to the enemy, whatever it might be, your own self-talk is toxic. And my friend, can I challenge you today to become all that God's called you to be? All that He's called you to be. And there's nothing prideful about looking in the mirror and saying, I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God. There's nothing prideful about that. There's nothing prideful with saying, and some of us need to be saying this, I'm forgiven. We've asked God to forgive us, but yet we're still struggling with guilt, condemnation, and shame. And we need to be saying, no, I'm forgiven. Your words are powerful, friend. And we need to be saying it, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Some of us guys need to be saying, you know what? My wife's a queen. Thank God for my precious lady. Thank God for my wife. Some of you wives, you need to be saying that about you. I thank God for my wonderful husband. Thank God for him. Wow. What if your spouse rises to the place you last said about them? Words are powerful. Words affect our life. They're toxic, or they're fruit. And if you need to overcome some words, you take a stand. You take a stand. You, with the Word of God in you, and work the Word of God. You need to do that. Wow. Any of you like to fix things for people? Anybody else here? Come on, be honest. You like to fix things. When you see something, somebody's life is broke, you want to fix it, don't you? You want to fix it. I want to fix things. That's what my pastor said. I want to help. But sometimes there's things that only you and God can fix. Right in here. And that's you taking a stand. No more. These toxic words are not going to affect my life anymore. And then the last thing is, you need to forgive those that have spoken the toxic words to you. You really need to forgive them. Well, Pastor, I'm going to wait till they ask for forgiveness. No. No. You need to forgive them. And I'm going to say a word immediately. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. Because as long as you're walking in unforgiveness, the power of their words still influencing you. And I'm going to say it a different way that some of us don't like. As long as you walk in unforgiveness, they're still controlling you with their words. Paul wrote this in the book of 2 Corinthians. And you can go and read it later what he's talking about. But I'm just going to pull a principle out of here. In 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11, he's writing to the church. He says, Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And in the Message translation commentary, whatever you like to call it, it says it this way: after all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. And what is he talking about? When you walk in unforgiveness, it opens the door to the enemy to have influence in your life. And that's why you need to forgive those that said the words that they should have said, whether they ask for forgiveness or not. My prayer is that they would. But so those words no longer hold influence on you, forgive them. Forgive them. Well, Pastor Ken, what does forgiveness mean? Now, it doesn't mean you need to always trust off the bat, okay? Some relationships need to be restored. Some never get fully restored. But there still needs to be forgiveness there. But what does forgiveness mean? Is that you no longer hold it against them. Don't you expect, you know, doesn't the Bible say he doesn't hold our sins against us? They cast them as far as the east is to the west. And you're no longer holding that against them. You need to forgive them. I know it hurt. I know what they said hurt. I've said some very hurtful things through the years, especially 40 years of marriage. I've said some very hurtful things. You know, pastoring now, how long have we been doing this? 30 years? I've said some hurtful things to people as a pastor. Go back and forgive me for saying that. Why? Because words are powerful, friend. They're either poison or they're fruit. They're either life or they're death. And some of you right now are thinking, "Well, I've said some very harmful things to people." Well, the Holy Spirit's reminding you of that. Go ask them to forgive you. And forgive you. Forgiveness is big if you're going to overcome toxic words in your life. Take a stand. Work the word of God. Forgive those that hurt you. Won't you stand with me? You've been wounded with words. Wounded other with words before. My family up here is kind of laughing and giggling a little bit, so immediately I start checking myself. One time they told me, they were laughing when I was up here, they told me I was standing like Forrest Gump. And I'm like, what's up with that? Friend, words are powerful in your life and in my life. Those of you at home, we're getting ready to serve the communion. Participate together as a family. And if you would like to participate with us, you can go grab some bread, some juice, whatever you might have there in the refrigerator to drink, or water. Something to represent the blood of Christ, and then something to represent his body. Cracker, bread, whatever. And just for you to prepare for that. But what I'm going to do the same thing in this service as I did in the first service. And I just want you to be honest that if you have been wounded with words, when you come and grab the communion, just stay up here. Just stay right up here. And because we're going to pray for you. And if you're visiting here, it's okay. It's okay. You can participate as well, you know. And thank you. So why don't you go ahead? And if you've wounded someone with words and you want to stay up here and you know you need to ask for forgiveness, I want you to stay up here as well. And you can look this way, Lauren, and thank you. But if you've been wounded with words, y'all come now to the communion tables. We've just got it on each side this time because of our display up here. And so if you've been wounded with words, or I want you to stay right up here. And we want to pray for you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the courage. And if I could just get those that just to line up right here in front, in a straight line, if you would, after you grab your communion cup. And you don't have to be a member here at Encounter Church to stand up here or participate in the communion. But if you've been wounded with words, and I'm going to, you're staying up front, if you could just get in kind of a straight line up front so we can kind of see the people that we want to pray for. And thank you so much. And I'm going to ask them, I didn't do this in the first service, but I want to ask some of our prayer partners, just get behind these. And if you're staying up front, can we come this way just a little bit, move down a little bit? And you can see how words affect all of us, friend. They affect all of us. Your words matter. Your words matter. I can't say it enough. And what has to happen now in this place is the Holy Spirit has to move. I've shared the word, and the Holy Spirit needs to move in your life, and you need to, and again, we're always here to help and pray, but you've got to grab a hold of it. You've got to grab a hold of the word and say, what does it say about, and begin to work it in your life. I just, in my spirit, I felt like the Spirit allowed me to feel the grief that some of you are feeling right now over words that have been spoken to you. And it hurt. Words hurt. They're powerful. But it's all enabled by what we're remembering today. By the broken body of Christ on the cross, and Him being the payment for our sins and becoming our Savior, giving us the power when He was resurrected out of that grave to overcome death, hell, and the grave, to overcome any tool of the enemy. And the Bible says that He disarmed Satan. So if He disarmed Satan, what is Satan going to use to try and get you? His words. And then what's the next step to get you to believe those words? That's deception. Why? Because words have power. And He wants to get you to believe those words that someone else in authority maybe said to you, whether it been a pastor or a father or a mother or even your children. When your children say things to you, sometimes it can be hurtful, can it? Anybody, any parent know what I'm talking about? It hurts. But you have to grab a hold of this and begin to work it, my friend. And say, I'm not going to allow those toxic words to influence my life any longer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I believe with all of my heart that this word today is from You. It's been on my heart now for weeks, and as You kept me up, Lord, in the middle of the night, saying, Your words are powerful, Your words are powerful, words are powerful. Lord, I believe it was in preparation for this series and in this message. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person that stepped up, that stayed up front, every person that's watching online, God, that words have affected their life in a very negative way. They've been toxic. And Father, that these words have caused them to form an opinion about themselves or someone else that's very unhealthy. And there's some here, Father, that they've used toxic words. And Father, and they recognize that. Thank You for Your forgiveness. And Father, I ask right now in Jesus' name that Your Holy Spirit will move in each one of these. And Father, they will take personal responsibility for poison control in their life. And they do that with self-control given them by the Holy Spirit. And Father, they begin to have self-control and not poison control. And they stand on your word, Father, and what your word says about them. And Father, they're not going to back down. They're not backing down to Satan any longer. And they're going to declare the word of the Lord in their life. And Father, they're going to forgive those that have hurt them. And they're going to, if they've hurt someone, ask for forgiveness. Father, I thank you for it. And it's all made possible. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you for setting us free in Christ, in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you for the broken body of Christ that this bread represents. We do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Let's share the bread together. Father, thank you that there's still power in the blood of Christ. I ask your blood to cover me, cover this church family, cover every person that's here, God. Father, cover them right now. There's power in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But with that shedding of blood of Christ, there is forgiveness. And we walk in that forgiveness, Lord. Forgive us, God. Help me to recognize when there's been unhealthy things in my life, sin in my life. Forgive me, Father. I step into your forgiveness through the power of the blood. Let's share the cup together. Father, thank you for supernatural work. Supernatural work. And Father, I pray that each one of these people, every one of them, will recognize when the enemy is trying to deceive them with words. When he's deceiving them or tormenting them, they'll recognize it. And they'll submit themselves to God. They'll stand and they will resist. 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 Someone here's had a very harmful word said to you by a pastor. And Father, I just pray right now for that person. We're not going to hold anything against that pastor. We're going to love them, Father, but I pray right now that you will help them overcome those words that come from someone that they admired. Help them overcome those negative words right now. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name for freedom from the poison of toxic words, Lord, and that we stand in your word that is pure. It's pure. And we declare your word in our life. And we rise to a place of victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give him praise, church. Come on, give him praise.